I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From KNX News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
39 days to go before Donald Trump takes the oath of office. Goes back to the White House. Thanks for counting down to the transition with us. Mike Simpson with you. Margaret's gone. Charles is gone. So you're getting more of me today. On today's Countdown 2024, the current FBI director, Christopher Wray, made it easy on Donald Trump, saying, "I'll retire at the end of Joe Biden's term." So that means Trump doesn't have to fire him. Is this the start, though, of a dangerous politicization of the nation's top law enforcement agency? We're going to hear from a former FBI special agent who now covers the agency for CNN. We're also talking with a former Republican chairman of the House Oversight Committee. But first, a look around politics today. Donald Trump is your Time Magazine Person of the Year for 2024, the editor-in-chief, with the decision saying giving Trump the honor is for better or for worse because he had the most influence on the news in 2024. In his interview with Time, Trump said some things that might go back on some of the promises of the campaign. President-elect said he wants to focus on bigger issues than transgender people using bathrooms in spite of the campaign spending millions on ads attacking transgender rights. His pledges to immediately bring down the prices of groceries, well, he admitted it's hard to bring things down once they get so high up. Joe Biden had some more pardons up his sleeve than just Hunter Biden's. The president says he'll commute the sentences of around 1,500 people. It's the largest single-day act of clemency for any president in modern history. Commutations are for people who were released from prison, placed in home confinement during COVID. In addition to those, he's also pardoning 39 people convicted of nonviolent crimes and says he'll continue to go through some of these clemency petitions. And in a continuation of the moguls, the tech moguls making nice with Donald Trump, Mark Zuckerberg and Meta donating $1 million to the inauguration fund. He also went to Mar-a-Lago for dinner with the president-elect. Trump and Zuckerberg have been critical of each other in the past, and Zuckerberg and Elon Musk don't get along either. So, President-elect Trump made his intentions for Christopher Wray clear when he nominated Kash Patel to lead the FBI. Even with Wray still having a couple years left in his 10-year term, that means he was going to get fired unless he moved on out. So he's voluntarily bowing out early. What does that mean for the nation's federal police agency? Josh Campbell served as a supervisory special agent in the FBI, now covers the Justice Department, other national security stories on CNN, and he's a friend of LA's Morning News. Josh, welcome. Thanks for talking to us. Surprised about this, to not go down by getting the pink slip? I mean, I won't go unless you force me. Why do you leave now, do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question, Mike. Great to be joining you. I'm actually looking out my window here in CNN studios in Burbank on this hazy day. I think I can almost see your office.
I'm waving.
Yeah, we're doing great. You know, it's interesting. The FBI is obviously not a monolith. There are people that have, you know, different views, personally, different political views. But one thing that was not a surprise was that Christopher Wray would be leaving. The question was, you know, everyone assumed he was headed towards the door. But the question was, would he be shoved out that door whenever Donald Trump took office and fired him? Or would he seek to walk out on his own accord? Obviously, he chose the latter. You know, it's interesting. Not a lot of people, you know, question the fact that he was going to be a goner. I mean, Trump has essentially signaled that he has all of this animosity towards Wray, the FBI. He wants to, quote, you know, clean the place out. There is, interestingly, I've been talking to a lot of people inside the FBI over the last 24 hours since that news first broke of Wray's imminent departure. There is a camp that says that he should have stayed and made Donald Trump fire him. And that's because, you know, the FBI director has a 10-year term that was set up in order to insulate the Bureau from politics, to make sure that any director would naturally, you know, extend beyond any one administration. And so there is a group of people there inside the Bureau who say that, you know, if Trump is going to bust these norms and get rid of an FBI director and bring in a political loyalist, at least, you know, make him be the anomaly in order to make that that move.
This is not a small organization to run. That job of director, what is it like? And for the agents, I remember one a former official saying, you know, they didn't get into this line of work to be in the headlines. Sure, you make a big bust, you do the press conference, but like nobody signed up to be, look at me, I'm wearing the jacket, I'm in the center of all the news. They don't necessarily want to be in front of the cameras and get all this attention all the time.
It is such a good point. You know, there are 38,000 people inside the FBI. When I served there, I served under three directors, Bob Mueller, Jim Comey, and then Christopher Wray. And, you know, the overwhelming majority of those people do their work every single day with their head down. They solve cases. You know, I can say right now where I used to work in Westwood at the Los Angeles field office of the FBI, that building is staffed full of agents, analysts, professional staff that you will never know about because they don't, they're not public people. Their names aren't out there, but they're looking at the Los Angeles area and surrounding counties every single day and saying, how do we stop threats here? National security threats, cyber threats, criminal threats in and around this region. And so, no, it's not something that people go out and seek. And one thing that's interesting, they're not used to the FBI being in the news as much as it has. Now, people have different views, you know, outside the organization about maybe things that the FBI could do better. Obviously, this is a very powerful law enforcement agency that has to have scrutiny, that has to be held accountable for certain things. But there's this view among a lot of folks inside the FBI that so many of these attacks against the Bureau have essentially been political. And that's because if you go back to the Mueller investigation, you know, whenever that first kicked off, looking into suspected ties between the Trump campaign and Russia, you know, President Trump came out just a full-on political campaign against the Bureau. A lot of people suspect that was because, you know, if you go after the investigators, try to undermine their credibility in the minds of the American people, you can also make the public question the results of their investigations. And so, again, you look, you know, throughout history and certainly throughout the last 8 years, the FBI has not been faultless, but there are a lot of folks in the Bureau who think that they've been unfair political targets.
Let's talk about Kash Patel, Trump's pick to be the new director, you know, with Christopher Wray on the way out. Do the people you talk to over there believe him when he has these interviews and he says, you know what we're going to do to the Hoover building? It's going to turn into some museum for the deep state and we're going to start clearing house and move everybody out of there. Do they think that's actually going to happen or is that just something that he says when he gets on camera?
Yeah, you know, the uncertainty there, I think, is the cause of so much anxiety because a lot of the things that he has said in the past to Mr. Patel on podcasts and, you know, in various interviews is essentially saying he's going to blow the place up and, you know, essentially start over. There are a few people who think that a lot of the drastic things that he's talked about in those podcasts he would actually be able to do, as you mentioned, you know, slashing headquarters and he said he wanted to turn it into a museum to the, quote, deep state. But there is a lot that an FBI director can do as far as setting the priorities of the organization, what investigations will receive the most resources, just as importantly, what type of investigations will not receive the most resources. You know, there's this dirty secret in the FBI. Again, I mentioned 38,000 people. Most of those people don't wake up every single day thinking about the FBI director. When I was there working at the field office in Westwood, I didn't wake up thinking, oh, who's the director today and what are they thinking? Again, you do your work. You work your cases. But from a grand strategy, an FBI director who is intent on, you know, shaping how the organization works can certainly do that to some degree, specifically with the people that he ends up hiring there, you know, to oversee the Bureau at headquarters. And then the last thing, and not to get too wonky on federal hiring, but President Trump...
We love wonky federal hiring.
Let's do it. We'll press on. President Trump has signaled that he wants to change federal hiring practices in order to essentially be able to fire public servants at will. So, you know, right now, if you're in the FBI or, you know, any government agency as a civilian employee, if you think something wrong is being done by your leadership, you can become a whistleblower. You can report that to Congress or to inspectors general without fear of retaliation against yourself. That could all change if Trump actually does change these hiring practices. And, you know, if someone wants to complain about something that the director is doing, that director could then fire them, send them on the street without a job. That's the big fear. Not Kash Patel himself, but if those practices are actually changed, giving the FBI director greater latitude to essentially bring in whatever political loyalists he wants.
You mentioned things that they can do better. What do you do when you have this situation where, you know, conspiracy theory or not, people do feel like they've lost trust in the FBI? It's a big group of people out there. Obviously, a lot of them are Donald Trump supporters. And reality for a lot of people is how they see things, right? And they think that there is something sketchy going on in there.
No, public opinion has certainly turned, you know, since President Trump's first term. And I went back and looked at the last Gallup public opinion polling. I think back in 2014, somewhere around 75% of the American people had high confidence in the FBI. That number down less than 50% now, which could track with the split, you know, political division of this nation. So a lot of people are certainly believing that, you know, this is an organization that, you know, as President Trump has said, is corrupt and, you know, has done things for political reasons. One thing I'd point out, too, and I say this as someone who is a journalist now, so I cover law enforcement, not just, you know, covering things when that they do right, but also, you know, serving as that accountability that the media often, you know, that certainly does, which is being a check and a watchdog. You know, again, these are agencies with extreme power. So I don't want to sound like, you know, everything the FBI has done, you know, has been right. As in any organization staffed with human beings, there are, you know, there's room for improvement. But in the main, all you have to do is just dissect each of these allegations that we've seen against the Bureau, you know, that it's a deep state, that, you know, that Joe Biden has charged the FBI with going after Trump. There is absolutely no evidence for that. And believe me, if it was out there to be found, we would be, you know, searching and finding for it. And then the last thing I'll say, too, having, you know, been a special agent working investigations, all of that has to hold up in court. If you prosecute someone and you hold up evidence, you know, President Trump obviously had faced numerous prosecutions. You know, even if the FBI were to accuse him of something that he says he didn't do, that has to be proven in a court of law. And so a lot of these political arguments, again, you know, people inside the Bureau think are just a house of cards, just a way to, you know, try to help President Trump kind of navigate through some of these troubled legal waters that he's been in. And, you know, what better way to do that than to try to go after the investigators themselves?
All right. We'll end with the what keeps you up at night question. I mean, what do you worry about them getting right? Because, man, it's a list. China, well, cyber attacks, AI, fentanyl. It goes on and on and on and on.
It is. And, you know, the FBI works multiple. There are hundreds of federal violations that the FBI works. Obviously, terrorism is always the big one. But as you mentioned, there are a lot of other things that they do as well, which are just as important. And particularly in this day and age, one thing that I'm focused on, you know, a lot in our coverage is the counterintelligence threat as well. Foreign adversaries, you know, not only interfering in U.S. elections, but things that they're trying to do on social media to try to divide this country. All of that has been, you know, uncovered in a lot of various investigations as well. So while terrorism remains the most acute threat, as we call it, you know, the closest alligator to the boat that you have to deal with, the investigators in the FBI certainly aren't losing sight at foreign threats as well, cyber, and all the other categories you mentioned.
Josh Campbell served as a supervisory special agent in the FBI, now covers the Justice Department, other national security stories for CNN. Josh, thanks. Coming up, Donald Trump and the Republican allies with those laundry list of complaints about the FBI for years. And we're talking about someone who has some of those complaints. Coming up in just a few minutes as Countdown 2024 continues.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. Mike Simpson in for Charles and Margaret today. Sticking with the FBI and the future of it as our topic. No secret, Donald Trump has no love lost for the FBI. He was not happy about that search in Mar-a-Lago. The documents case, he's accused the Biden administration of weaponizing the DOJ against him. And as we talked about in our last segment, public perception of the agency has taken a hit lately. We're with Trey Gowdy now, served as a federal prosecutor and assistant U.S. attorney. He was then elected as a Republican to Congress from South Carolina, where he went on to chair the House Oversight Committee. Now hosts Sunday Night in America on Fox News, joins us here on Countdown 2024. Trey Gowdy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Give me a sort of top-down view of yours right now, if you would, when it comes to the FBI and what you would want to see happening there. Because something we brought up a few minutes ago with our last guest was, look, you know, 99% of the agents just want to go in there and catch bad guys and do their job. They don't want to be the center of all this, like, press, media, congressional attention all the time.
No, you put your finger on it. I mean, there are really two FBIs. There was the FBI I worked with as a state and federal prosecutor, and those are the guys and gals that you want living as your next door neighbor. You want them to be coaching your kids in sports. I mean, they're fantastic people that have dedicated their career to public safety. I don't know what happens when they get to headquarters. I don't know. I did not run into that as a prosecutor, but as a member of Congress, whether it's reading Peter Strzok's text, which I've never heard an FBI agent, never, ever heard an FBI agent talk about the subject of an investigation the way that he and others and Andy McCabe and then, you know, Jim Comey. I mean, Comey literally said that he did something to the Trump administration that he would not have even tried with the Obama administration. And then he just sat there and basked in the applause of the crowd. That is not what the justice system is. I mean, the lady's blindfolded for a reason. So what I see is a disconnect between the people in leadership and then the field agents. And then I see an FBI, and I'm not sure if it's just personnel, whether or not there needs to be change in policy. I mean, the best policy in the world is not any good if you don't have the right people. But they may need to restrict or narrow their jurisdiction I mean, what they're making the news for now is rarely crime. It is rarely helping state and locals catch somebody. It is rarely a carjacking or a kidnapping. It is for all the wrong reasons.
So then is Kash Patel the guy to fix it? Because you know people have concerns over things he's said. And not just Democrats. I mean, how should those agents feel if, like, the new boss is on record saying, hey, we're going to gut this place?
Yeah, I would just tell the agents, I worked elbow to elbow with Kash for 2 years. And you get to know somebody pretty well. We went through a pretty difficult time. I mean, it was the Russia investigation. Every time we walked in the room, you know, Adam and Eric and the Democrats are on the other side. It's not like a real courtroom where there's a judge. I mean, there are no rules in congressional investigations. I saw a guy whose North Star was fairness, and he was incredibly hard worker. And I think it's important to point out, not only was he a prosecutor, he was also a federal public defender. So he's well acquainted that, look, yes, I am probably pro-prosecution. Not probably. I am pro-prosecution. But it is important for folks to understand there's another side to it. And he's seen both sides. Here's what I can tell you about Kash. This is what I would tell my friends that are in the Bureau, and I still have a lot of them. He's going to be a lot more fair to his opponents than they ever were to him. So there is no enemies list. There is no revenge list. I mean, for all the talk about revenge, I really can't think of a single person, political enemy that Donald Trump prosecuted. I hear about it a lot, but I never saw it. Kash, his North Star is fairness. And if I didn't believe that, then I wouldn't be an advocate for him. But I saw it for 2 years.
So when he's out there, though, saying, you know, you got to be on notice, you can't get away with this stuff. When he's speaking Adam Schiff's name, you don't think he's actually going to go after them in that kind of a way?
No, I still talk to Kash. I talked to him in the interim when I left Congress. I mean, he was a coworker, but he was also a friend. And look, when I say things on television that maybe don't come out quite right, my friends call me. And when I hear things that my friends say that don't come out quite right, we don't go after people in this country. We go after fact patterns. You don't target people. You target fact patterns. So this is how I would explain what Kash has said that may raise people's eyebrows. And he and I have had this conversation. When you believe that you have been treated unfairly, it does recalibrate how you view fairness as a virtue. I literally had this word-for-word conversation with Kash. Fairness is a virtue all the time, even when others do not treat us fairly. And I believe that he believes that. So, yes, I don't want to be judged based on the worst interview I've ever given. I don't want to be judged based on the worst day that I've had or the worst quip that I made to a reporter that may or may not have been in context. I worked with the guys side by side. There were lots of opportunities to cut corners. And what I saw was a guy who is wed to this virtue of fairness. And if he is left alone, that is what he will pursue.
Trey Gowdy, hang with us. So we'll finish out Countdown 2024 with you in just a couple minutes.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And we are back here on Countdown 2024, wrapping up the show. Trey Gowdy, former Republican chairman of the House Oversight Committee, current Fox News host, still with us to close things out. There was a lot of talk about that this was a retribution campaign on the part of Donald Trump, that he was going to come in. And we talked about, you know, his grievances, saying that he was targeted by the DOJ. I just want to come back to this idea that can work both ways, right? So nothing that wouldn't pass legal muster is going to happen going the other direction, right? Because if there are two wrongs, it doesn't make a right.
No, that you're exactly right. I mean, the answer to being treated unjustly, whether in reality or perception, is not to treat others that way. It is to reorder and restructure society's view of what is fair. And the FBI and DOJ need to get out of the business of politics, and they need to get into the business of fighting crime and enforcing our laws. So, I mean, I do unto others as you would want them to have done to you. That is a pretty good motto to go by. It's not original with me. Somebody else came up with yeah. that, but that it's still good advice.
Real quick, before we end here, you think he can get the votes? I mean, we could both do the math, and some of these nominees are right on that edge. They can only lose, you know, four or five Republican senators.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with others as I am Kash. I do have friends in the Senate. I think The more they meet him and talk to him and look him eyeball to eyeball, I have not heard of one that's come back to me and said, I'm a no. If anything, he's moving in the plus territory, not the negative. But, you know, Gates, I was pretty vocal against, and he dropped out. He would have lost anyway. I can't speak to the others. Radcliffe's going to pass. Bondi's going to pass. I think Cassidy's going to pass.
Trey Gowdy, thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
On Friday's Countdown 2024, last week, Margaret and Charles talked with a transgender activist in the wake of the Supreme Court arguments over gender-affirming care. So tomorrow, it's with a doctor who believes the medical procedures like puberty blockers, hormone therapies, those measures are abusive, harmful to kids. If you miss the show, we're on the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. Just search for Countdown 2024.